You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. McGeorge Law School is hosting an event tonight to mark the creation of a new endowed chair named after retired U.S. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, and the retired justice himself will be there. Justice Kennedy joined the McGeorge faculty back in 1965. You probably know that he announced his retirement from the Supreme Court last summer, and that is what set into motion the proceedings that ended with the confirmation of Justice Brett Kavanaugh this month. McGeorge Law Professor Leslie Gilo Jacobs is in the studio with me. She is also director of the Capital Center for Law and Policy and was a law clerk to U.S. Supreme Court Justice Lewis Powell. It's always a pleasure to have you here, Professor Jacobs. Thanks for coming in.
I'm so happy to be here.
I want to spend time, first of all, on the Kavanaugh situation, because Chief Justice Roberts has now requested that the Tenth Circuit investigate some ethics questions about Justice Kavanaugh. This is a packet of allegations that's been moving along, and now with the Chief Justice moving it to the Tenth Circuit, what does this mean? What's in process?
Well, to be a little more precise, he referred it to the Tenth Circuit. I don't think he directed that it be investigated. And so by referring it to the Tenth Circuit, he's giving the Tenth Circuit the decision-making about what exactly to do with these complaints. And the Tenth Circuit would have to review the complaints, decide whether there were grounds that should be investigated, and then they have a number of options for looking into them if they decide they should be looked into.
I understand that most, if not all of them, relate to the September 27th hearing, and that they initially went to Judge Karen LaCraft Henderson, who had dismissed some of them, but she found others valid, which is why they moved on, correct?
Yes. Certainly what Chief Justice Roberts wants is to have another circuit be the one to look at and make a decision about what to do.
Do you know what the legal basis of the complaints is?
I think that they're based upon a claim that, in fact, there may be ethics violations. I should point out, however, that the Supreme Court is not subject to ethics rules. The courts of appeals are, and so there's a little bit of a question here about exactly where the nominee was at the point when he was doing this. And I think that will be a question for the Tenth Circuit, whether, in fact, there are ethics rules that cover this. I assume as well that there are claims about the need to disqualify into the future on the Supreme Court. And those rules do apply to the Supreme Court. Impartiality is supposed to be something that the justices have. And they are the ones, though, who make the decision about whether there's an appearance of bias that would happen if they were to sit on a case.
Meanwhile, there were hundreds of law students who walked out of class in New York last week after Justice Kavanaugh heard his first case. And the quote that came from the leader of that group is, "We do not recognize Kavanaugh as a legitimate member of the U.S. Supreme Court." And so he's beginning this term, a new term. He's beginning his term as a justice. What do you take from the tenor of the court right now? And is it possible for it to be business as usual?
Well, I think they are conducting business as usual. And certainly the Chief Justice is going to do everything he can to make it be business as usual. People have the right to express themselves in all sorts of ways. It's the United States of America, and there's free speech and the ability to engage in conduct that sends messages, and certainly the students are allowed to do that. But the court's going to continue with business as usual, and it's a long year of arguments that will just keep plodding along, and I think that's probably what's going on there.
You're teaching this semester, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So to what degree is this conversation, or will it be, in the classroom? And what will you say to your students about the impact on the process?
Well, we think about it all the time when we look at the cases and we talk about the justices and we talk about their different opinions. Certainly, we talk about decisions that the court makes and their self-consciousness about their legitimacy. The abortion decision that Justice Kennedy, along with two other justices, authored, had a lot of conversation about what it takes for a court to be legitimate and how important it is for the Supreme Court to be legitimate, because it doesn't have an army. It can't enforce its decisions. And so we talk about it all the time, and we'll continue to talk about it.
What kind of latitude does a justice have? And some of this question can go back to Justice Clarence Thomas, when you step in to the high court and you have controversy and drama surrounding you, can you sort of pull back? Can you take it more low-key for a while?
Justices can make their own decisions about how they're going to behave on the bench, and they do behave in different ways on the bench. So, yes, justices have lots of latitude. They're appointed for life. They really aren't overseen in any particular way. There are questions about Congress's ability even to impose ethic rules on them. So they have a lot of freedom to decide how they're going to behave and how they're going to attempt to appear legitimate.
Do you have a prediction about how Justice Kavanaugh will take his role, especially in this first term?
I don't have a prediction. I think we're just going to have to see how things go.
You and I have talked before at the beginnings of a term about the cases that the Supreme Court decides to hear. With Justice Kavanaugh on the bench and the number of conservatives in the court, do you think there are different cases that we will see coming before the court than before? And if so, in what arena?
Well, it takes four justices to vote to hear a case. And so changes we would expect might be in areas where the new justice would differ, for example, from Justice Kennedy. So we'll see. We may see gun rights cases going up. We may see cases having to do with affirmative action and perhaps abortion. Those would be cases where we might see this new justice being different, actually not gun rights, different from Kennedy, but it does take four votes to take it. So those would be the areas where I think we might see some more cases showing up. Agency action, scope of the ability of agencies to make environmental rules and health and safety rules.
So Justice Kennedy is on this panel tonight, and the event is sold out, but there will be monitoring online. People are free to submit a question online, and you are moderating the panel. Is this some of the direction that you expect the conversation tonight to go?
Tonight we're having a comparative constitutional conversation, and it's such a nice thing to be doing with Justice Kennedy here. We're celebrating the Sakopoulos family gift of $1 million to McGeorge, which is a huge thing for the law school. We're so pleased to have it. And the Powell Fund matching that with $1 million, which gives us a $2 million chair. So we're celebrating that and to bring Justice Kennedy back onto campus and to be having an international panel is exciting because Justice Kennedy embraced international law, at least in some areas, as providing information for him in interpreting what our own constitutional rights mean. And so here we have these justices coming, and we have a former California Supreme Court justice as well, all of them talking from their different perspectives, but coming together to have a civil conversation, a respectful conversation about both samenesses and differences.
So let's say a bit more about who else will be here this evening, presiding judge Ann Power Ford. Tell me about her role, because you said this is an international panel.
Exactly right. She was served for a number of years as the elected judge for Ireland on the European Court of Human Rights. The European Court of Human Rights is interesting because it's 47 countries at this point who have gotten together, and they've signed a treaty, the European Convention on Human Rights. And so what the court does is interprets those rights and then applies them against the countries. And so it's kind of like our constitutional rights with the federal court applying it against the states, but it's different because it's countries.
Also former Justice Joseph Grodin.
Exactly right.
Yes.
And so he's going to be there, and there we're going to get a different perspective about constitutions. He's specialized in state constitutional law, which we may think, oh, constitutional law is all the same, but it's actually not at all. So we're going to be very interested to hear what he has to say.
And with more international perspective, Judge Wolfgang Brandstetter.
Exactly right. And he comes from Austria. And so he's on the Austrian constitutional court. And so what's different about European countries, many of them, is that they have a specialized constitutional court. And so all it does is interpret the Constitution, as opposed to, for example, our Supreme Court, which interprets all sorts of things, including regular old disputes that happen to involve people from different states, or also statutory interpretation. So constitutional law is one job of our Supreme Court, but the specialized job in Europe and in Austria.
There's been a long relationship between McGeorge and the University of Vienna, correct?
Actually, Salzburg. That's where our summer program is. And so certainly Justice Kennedy has taught there year after year for our summer students, moving from teaching our evening students on campus to teaching the day students during the summer in Salzburg.
You are listening to McGeorge Law Professor Leslie Gilo Jacobs. The event tonight will be live streamed on YouTube. It is from 5:30 to 7. And am I correct about questions being submitted in the process of this live stream?
Yes, yes. I'm not completely familiar with how that's going to happen, but you sign on to our live stream and there'll be a way to do it.
Okay. Tell me more of the topics that you'll be covering tonight. Constitutional law and interpretation is very broad. What specifics are going to come up?
Exactly right. Well, we'll talk about different individual rights. For example, race, sex, sexual orientation discrimination. Obviously, the California Supreme Court's dealt with that. Our U.S. Supreme Court has dealt with that, and the European courts have dealt with that. So we'll look at the ways it's the same, but also the way it's different. One way that it's different, affirmative action is more accepted. In Europe, the rights guarantees are interpreted differently. So I expect samenesses, differences to come up. Free speech, hate speech is something that is okay to regulate in Europe and not okay to regulate under our Constitution. And that can actually pose some issues because we've got an internet that just shoots across the globe. So we've got different rules and difficulty in making them harmonized. And then also what? Religious liberty. That's going to be in some ways similar. We have rights of religious freedom. But one thing that's different is that we in the United States have what's called an establishment clause, which means the government can't help religion that much by aligning with symbols like crosses or by giving money to private religious schools in certain ways. In Europe, it's just much more accepted. They don't have that kind of clause. And so here we have different democracies having different ways of looking at things and interpreting rights. And so we'll be talking a lot about that.
Can I just go back for a moment to the whole picture of the process leading up to the installation of a new Supreme Court justice? Do you share the opinion that was expressed by many people that the whole process was so marred and so tainted, or that part of the process is broken now, that there was a permanent damage, that something happened that's going to affect the court nomination and confirmation process for all time now? And I guess I'm looking for your gauge on whether it was and has been and will continue to be as powerful as was expressed during that very intense, volatile 2 weeks.
Well, what happened recently is part of the longer history of the confirmation process. And it's difficult to look at how far one should go back to look at that. But interestingly, the confirmation process that led to Justice Kennedy becoming a justice began with Judge Robert Bork being nominated and being not confirmed because of ideology. Then there was another judge who was also nominated who wasn't confirmed. And then Justice Kennedy was nominated and confirmed. And the rest, 30 years, I think almost it was, is history. And so you can date it back whenever you want to, but that ever since then, there have been lots of conversations as people have been confirmed. Certainly this confirmation has to be looked at not just by itself, but as part of the confirmation that happened a year ago of Justice Gorsuch. What had happened then is that, in fact, the Senate had to change its rules in order to be able to confirm Justice Gorsuch by a majority vote. It used to be that for Supreme Court justices, you could have what's called a filibuster, and it would actually take 60 votes to be confirmed. So that went on, and then now we have this going on. So it's part of a process where, indeed, things are becoming much more contentious. And I think people look at the Senate and look at a body that used to be more collegial across party lines, and it's just not. And we could say that's too bad, I think, for democracy.
Well, thank you so much for, in what is a very busy day, spending some time with us. I'll again let everyone know that Justices on Justice is going to be a live stream tonight from 5:30 to 7. The event is happening at Pacific McGeorge Law School, but it is sold out. We'll post a link. It will be a YouTube link that will be live tonight. And you should be able to add in a question if you choose to. So thanks again, Professor Jacobs. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
That is Professor Leslie Gilo Jacobs from McGeorge School of Law. This is Insight on Capital Public Radio.